Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to Spark London.
We tell true stories. We tell them live.
We tell them every month at the Canal Cafe Theatre.
This story was performed by Stephen Kirk when the theme was Just My Luck.
My story starts with a fridge. It wasn't any old fridge. The fridge belonged to my boss. And he'd allowed me to use his villa in Italy for a holiday, a cheap holiday. And he said only one thing, that was, when I left the flat, I should close the fridge door. In fact, sorry, he said, well, I should open the fridge door. Even now I get it wrong. But there were two fridges, and one fridge was closed and the other was open. So I worked on the principle that you just leave things as you find them. And I left the fridges, one door closed and the other open. I got back to London and told him this, and he went so berserk, went purple in the face, and screamed at me so much that I had to resign. The next morning, I realised that I had nothing to do, and he realised that he probably made a mistake, so he agreed to pay me some consultancy fees, but I actually wouldn't go back to the job, and I had to figure out something to do. I'm a very lazy person, and so I asked my mates, what would you do? And they had really stupid ideas. And then one day I was in the bath, and the phone rang, and this is absolutely true, and it was a guy from BT who told me, and this was 1983, something like that. He told me that BT had some information services that they were selling at 10p a call, things like the cricket scores and racing results and things like weather time. And they were going to privatise it, and they were looking for people to set up private companies. So I'm a bit of a mathematician, but I am still lazy, and I did some figures, and I worked out I'd make a fortune if I could persuade newspapers to put telephone numbers in their columns for racing results, weather, and so on and so forth. And I needed some money to get the computer to do this. So, and the figures were so amazing, I took it to a bank, 3i, who now are quite well known for owning things like Agile, Provocateur and stuff like that. In those days, were very unknown. And they agreed to lend me some money. So I got the computer, and then I had to work out what services. So I got a guy who, I met a guy who was the racing correspondent of LBC Radio called Colin Turner. And he and I got on very well, and then I managed to blag my way into a meeting with the Daily Mirror. I know nothing at all about racing. I'm not really interested. I've never been to a race meeting. And I needed to field a team. So I was interviewing a woman for a job in the company, and I had to get to this meeting at the Mirror in about an hour's time. And she said, I used to work in a bookmaker's. So I said, fine, you come along too. So we all tooted off to the Mirror, and we managed to get a racing contract. And like that way, similarly blagging my way, I managed to get contracts with all the major papers. And then just for good measure, I went also to TV stations, and I started to get what is now known as premium rate services on TV. And I was really full of myself, because we were turning over millions of pounds in about 2 years. The only problem was that everybody else noticed. And I'd also bought myself this huge house in Hampstead Garden suburb, and interest rates were rising, property was falling, similar to today in a way, and I had negative equity, so I actually didn't have enough money anymore to do anything. The company was having lower margins, there were more competitors, and we were really going up Ship Creek very quickly. And I then thought I must sell my company really fast, either to Robert Maxwell or Rupert Murdoch. which is against the odds if you think about it. Anyway, Colin knew someone who knew Robert Maxwell, and so I managed to go and see him. He stood on his desk, blew an Alpine horn, looked at me lovingly, and basically nothing happened after that, but it was very entertaining. So they got to a day which was D-Day for me, which was I had £4,000 in the bank, and really things were getting very tight, and my house was now worth more less than my equity. Yes, it was worth less than my mortgage, and there was a gap, and it was growing every week because of this mortgage broker who had persuaded me to take on this mad mortgage. Don't ever do it. So then, with the £4,000, and somebody said to me that they knew of these pundits in India who could chant for me, and they would change my fortune. And so, funnily enough, to get the pundits to chant for me was £4,000. So I did what any rational person would do, and I sent off the money to India. I got a call back saying, thanks for the money. What you have to do is get up at 4 a.m. and meditate for 3 hours. And you have to do this for 10 days. So the first day, I got up at 4 a.m. and meditated for 3 hours, went to the office completely knackered, got to the office, and they said, well, the computer's broken down. I said, great. And they said, if it's not fixed very quickly, the mirror will pull the contract. So I said, great. And the computer wasn't fixed. And the mirror rang up and said, Mr. Maxwell says he's taking away the business from you, and that was worth £3 million a year. I then crawled under the table in fetal position and sucked my thumb to the amazement of all my staff. And the phone was ringing. And for me. And the guy said, there's a call here from the Times. And we had a really, really tiny contract with the Times, and I thought they were giving me a bollocking. But a guy says, are you interested in selling your business? So I said, yes, as happens I am, thinking, you know, maybe he hasn't realised that the Times Service is actually working at that moment. And he said, because of the guy called John Evans who'd like to meet you, and he works for Rupert Murdoch. So I said, oh, fine, when would you like to meet me? And he said, well, turn up tomorrow at the Stafford Hotel. So the next day, I tooted off at the Stafford Hotel, not knowing what John Evans would be like, and very surprised to see someone who looked like Doctor Who. Now, not Doctor Who, who is currently on TV, but the original Doctor Who is William Hartnell, who had kind of long hair and looked like a mad Welshman. And he had a guy called Robert Potter sitting next to him, and Robert Potter was like Doctor Strangelove. And Doctor Strangelove didn't say a word or do anything in time apart from take notes and stare at me. I got on quite well with John Evans. Time doesn't allow me to tell you much about him, but he was a mad Welshman, basically. And we chatted about this and that, and he said, I think Rupert would really like you. I said, fine, and that was Friday. And meanwhile, the Indian pundits were still chanting. On Sunday evening, I was completely knackered because I'd be getting up at 4. At about 9 o'clock, I was in bed, actually, because I was just so tired. Phone rang, and it was, hi, it's John Evans here. Rupert would really like to see you tomorrow. What are you doing? He's not doing anything. So I said, well, as it happens, I'm not doing anything either. I had a really busy agenda, including taking my car to be serviced. And I was kind of wondering how I was going to do this and go and see Rupert Murdoch. But somehow I thought to myself, if I drive it to the forecourt of my office and there's a taxi waiting, I'll just throw the keys at reception. If not, somehow or other, I'll drive to the garage and get a cab and it'll be fine. I drive to reception the next morning and there's a taxi discharging, and I throw the keys at the reception guy, the guard, get into the taxi and say, take me to Wapping, please. This was in the middle of all the industrial disputes there, and the guy says, you're not going to see that Rupert Murdoch, are you? He's a right bastard. And I didn't say anything. I go into Wapping, and much to my surprise, there's a pass for me to go and see Rupert Murdoch, and I go into an office, and there's Rupert Murdoch with a series of acolytes, and I don't really know what to expect. But he comes over to me, and much to my amazement, he's very friendly, very normal, and he asks me a few questions about the business. And he says, I know a guy, he's in your business in America, called Stuart Chaptel. Now, Stuart was a friend of mine, so this is really good. So then I said, I know Stuart, he's a friend of mine. And Rupert said, fine, in that case, how much do you want? Luckily, I'd rehearsed this discussion in my head. And I mentioned a figure, and he said, well, is it rich, is it? So I said, maybe, but it's what I need to pay off the mortgage, so it's fine. I didn't tell them that. And we asked a few more questions. He said, right, well, there you go then. We're buying your company. So I walked out along the corridor, and I said to John Evans, what was all that about? And John says, we're buying your company. It took a few moments to sink in what that meant. By that Thursday, which was more or less the end of when the pundits in India had finished chanting, I'd sold my business, which was completely against the odds.
For more stories or to take part in next month's show, head to sparklondon.com.
Spark London is produced by Joanna Yates. Audio production by Matt Hill at rethinkdaily.co.uk.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.